A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. It's a very cool Monday morning, very cool Monday morning here in Ondangwa. So how is your Monday morning wherever you are in this beautiful land of the brave? So hopefully you had a wonderful weekend. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. You probably have rested, you know, to get yourself ready to get yourself ready for the week, and definitely contribute to the well-being and the development of this country. Yes, you have a role to play wherever you are, whatever you do. You have a role to play, and maybe like who did say, what is actually Martin Luther, or who did actually, or one of the, not Martin Luther, one of the American president, I think, is J. Kennedy, I think, where he said, don't ask the country what the country can do for you. Ask what you can do for the country. So as you go to work today, so that should be your questions. What can I do for my country today? So in whatever role you are, so you have a role to play in contributing to the well-being and development of this country. So it's Monday. So it's the beginning of the week, and the 12th of May. So welcome to Unpacking the Day, or here on Eagle FM. And this is a show where we dive deep into the stories, event, and issues that shape our world. So this show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we are here to make sense of it all together. So, but it's not just about us talking, it's about you. Share your thought, opinions, and perspectives on the topic that matter most to you. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. And as usual, every Monday, from quarter past seven, it is F&B Namibia segment. We will definitely contact the F&B. We will have someone from the F&B from the F&B Namibia to talk to us today. What it is they have for us this morning. Make sure that from the quarter past seven, you stay tuned to listen to the F&B Namibia segment, just to hear what do they have for us this morning. So 12th of May, let's see what happened on the 12th of May in Africa. So, and on the 12th of May, 1888, the Treaty of Bordeaux was signed between the Bay of Tunis and France, establishing now France a protectorate over Tunisia. So the Bay agreed to give up control of foreign affairs, defense, and administration to France, making the start of a formal French colonial rule in the country. So South Africa, on the 12th May 1950, the apartheid government passed the Immorality Amendment Act, which extended racial segregation laws by criminalizing interracial sexual relationship between whites and non-whites. So this was one of the several oppressive apartheid laws enacted in the early 1950s. And a national referendum on 12th May 1996 overwhelmingly approved a new constitution restoring a multi-party democracy. So the new charter was adopted by 93% of voters, formally ending a long period of military rule and single-party governance in Niger. That's in Niger in 1996. And today, it's an International Nurses Day. Is celebrated today. Celebrated annually on May the 12th. This day was chosen to honor the birth date of Florence Nightingale. It's one of the street in Windhoek. I don't know whether that have changed. So the founder, one of the longest as well. So the Florence Nightingale. So this day was chosen to honor the birthday of Florence Nightingale, the founder of modern nursing, who was born on May the 12th, 1820. So this day recognized the invaluable contribution of nurses worldwide and highlight their vital role in healthcare system. So that's today. We're wishing all our nurses a happy Nurses Day. All our nurses in Namibia and elsewhere in the world. And we want to tell them, we recognize the hard work that you do, for us. Those that are really committed to this calling. So we appreciate what you do. And our thought for the day, the 12th May, on Thursday, May the 12th, a fool is known by his speech, and a wise man by his silence. So the proverb reveals that impulsivity of a fool. A fool often speak without thinking, revealing their lack of knowledge and understanding through careless or excessive words. So their speech exposes their ignorance and immaturity. So in essence, the proverb teaches the importance of thoughtful communication and the wisdom of knowing when silence is more powerful than words. So our thought of the day is a fool is known by his words. I mean, is known by his speech, and a wise man by his silence. Hopefully, you know, you can judge yourself based on that. So, all right. So when we come back, we will see, whether we get to our F&B segment, and we get to talk to one of the F&B representatives and on our F&B segment. Well, stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are The Elsie Nehangano, The Osherero Omaimburiro, The Catholics Imane Kakarunga, The Africans Selfwar Diara, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutia wa tekiro kabona imatina onjo chikao sha fa sana na na ndi sha fa ya ishike moshiwana iyo moya wo ota ingongo tsamweni ana ndi sha fa ya na media ondi tomba na wa onjika teita nina omayaguro ni randi toma iwe yo ndi sha fa yo ya kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ndi tonde tine meha u kakombanga nina kara ompashi pareki wimoto yo mo programa detu moambo ndingira Selma odara heta tuimu natenda tu heari jamano tano oniach Eagle FM the eye.
You are now tuned into the F&B segment, proudly brought to you by F&B Namibia.
A very good morning to you, and if you're just joining us, as we you are now tuned into the F&B segment, F&B Namibia segment, and today we have Gerald Liebenberg, the F&B Information Security Officer. Good morning, Mr. Gerald. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. I'm doing wonderful, and yourself?
I'm all right. I believe today we're talking about the most common scam a Namibian actually, that affected actually Namibia. What is the most common scam affecting Namibian today?
Well, Mike, the most common scam is the impersonation scam.
Yeah.
Where fraudsters pretend to be from our various banks or mobile providers, and they try to trick our individuals into sharing their OTPs, banking passwords, or even installing remote access applications like AnyDesk or TeamViewer.
All right. So, and why do scams use remote tools like AnyDesk or TeamViewers?
Well, these fraudsters, they try to gain full control over your device.
Mm.
Once this software is installed, they can access your banking apps, they can read your SMSs, they can even go as far as transfer funds without you knowing.
Okay. So, and what signs indicate that a call might be a scam?
Well, the usual red flags includes that they try to drive urgency, they make threats that your account will be suspended, or they even request confidential information like your PINs, your OTPs, or ask you to install unknown applications. No legitimate bank will ask for this over the phone.
All right. And how can the average person verify if a call or a message is actually legitimate?
Well, once you suspect that this that the call or the message may be malicious, immediately hang up, call your bank or the service provider on their official numbers. Those numbers are usually listed on their website. Never trust caller ID, and also avoid clicking on suspicious links.
All right. So when you said never trust caller ID, what is that? What is a caller ID?
Well, these days, most of our users make use of applications that show a user's name whenever they get a phone call.
Mm.
One of these applications, for instance, is caller Truecaller.
Mm.
So those caller IDs can also be spoofed, giving the receiver of the call the wrong idea of who is calling them.
All right. And what should someone do if they have already given access or details to a scammer?
Well, in terms of access, usually these scammers, they connect via the internet. So first thing is to disconnect all your devices from the internet, inform your bank, also change your passwords as they might have extracted those from your device, and also have your device then scanned for any malicious software that can later on provide them with more information on your your stuff.
So when you disconnect you from internet, how does that help?
Well, as I mentioned, all these remote softwares, they connect via the internet, and as soon as you disconnect your internet connection, that renders them basically useless.
All right. And are banks doing enough, really, to protect their clients from scams?
Well, banks are actively improving their fraud detection systems. They are implementing multi-factor authentication, which also secures the client or the users, and also investing in public awareness campaigns. But then again, also, our users are also... should also take personal responsibility for staying alert.
All right. And what role does the social media play in online scam?
Well, as we know, most of our people, they view social media, and social media is a goldmine for scammers. They gather personal details to craft these believable scams. And they can even go as far as cloning profiles to defraud your friends and family. So be cautious on what you share publicly.
Mm. Yeah. You also mentioned that the users must also take personal responsibility for staying alert. So what do you mean by that? What does the user need to do to be staying alert?
To stay alert is basically... the awareness on where the scams are coming from, how to identify when it is a scam, what to do right after that. So yes, that is from a user's perspective for staying alert, staying aware of the scams.
All right. So then why do people still fall for these scams, even if with so many warnings that they receive?
Well, these scammers are very highly skilled manipulators. So they usually play on one's three of one's emotions: fear, urgency, or excitement. Mm-hmm. They try to exploit those, and even our educated individuals, they also still fall victim to those, especially when they're caught off guard or they're put under pressure.
Yeah. When you say they exploit fear and urgency or excitement, what kind of fear and urgency or excitement are in the users or in individuals? Well, yeah.
If it's talking about fear or urgency, when these scammers call, they usually tell you that your account is about to be suspended if you don't comply to what they ask. So immediately you are filled with fear that your account will be deactivated, you will lose your money.
Yeah.
So yes, and excitement, it comes, I'm sure most of us have seen that you get these messages where you have won $1 million. So that plays with the excitement again.
Yeah. All right. So what simple daily habits can help improve personal cybersecurity?
Well, at the base, a strong and a unique password. Passwords should not be shared among your different applications. Where possible, enable two-factor authentication. Also on public Wi-Fis, not to do any banking transactions. Mm. And always to think before you click on any of the links. And then lastly, to keep your devices and applications updated and always to be aware on how to protect yourself
from
these scams.
Yeah. And where can Namibians go for help or to report cybercrime?
Well, once such a scam has happened, immediately call your bank to ensure that your funds are safeguarded, and then you can also report it to the Namibian police.
All right. So any other information that you may think still important that you would like to share with our listeners today?
Well, always stay safe. Think before you click. And always remember that F&B is in this battle with you.
Yeah.
Into safeguarding yourself.
So you said contact your bank immediately. Is there a number that that for the bank that one can always, you know, call that you can maybe share in the, on air?
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. So it is +264 61 299 2222.
All right. All right. Geraldo, thank you for having you to this morning on F&B segment.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mike, for having me.
All right.
Thank you, and may you have a good day.
You have a good day, sir, as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
This has been the F&B segment, proudly brought to you by F&B Namibia. Catch the F&B segment every Monday from 7:45.
Omutiha utekirwaka guna I matina omjo Chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana Iye moya o, ota ingongoti samweni Anage shifa ya Namibia, ombichombwa na wa olonjika Seitha nina omayaguro nirandisoma yoe Yonge shifa yoe kupitira mo Igelefe Media House Ngoe tuende timemeha uka kombanga nina Kara omkwa shifareki uimopo yomo programa zetu Moambo, dengira selma, kodara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.
Wherever you are, Eagle FM is with you. And that's right. Accessible anytime, anywhere. All you need is your phone. And you are instantly connected to the news, to your favorite shows, and so much more features. All you need to do is just to download the Eagle FM mobile app. And you can do that. You can download that from your Google Play or the App Stores. So you can do that. So, and then you are good to go. And if you want to stay in the know with business, economic news and the latest, policy development, you can grab your digital copy of The Villager every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. All you need to do, send a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44. 081-241-44. And if you're a business person, we are making it easier than ever to grow your business. Our complimentary apps, the Imba and Eagle FM applications are perfect for boosting your product and in services to a wider range of customers. So, and don't forget, our social media platform, they are some of the most active in the country, giving you the perfect space to elevate your brand and product visibility. So contact us at 083-288-400. 083-288-400. So, and a very good morning to you if you just joining us. And so, stay tuned. When we get back, when you come back, stay tuned. When we come back, we get into our first item on Unpacking the Day. Stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Pack your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. out with the old and in with the new, from carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app, here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsi Nehangano, the Asherero Omaimburiro, the Catholics Imane Kakarunga, the Africans Selfwar Tierra, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-63. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a mission, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
A very good morning to you and welcome to Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM, where we talk about issues that matter for Namibia's growth and future. Over the years, Namibia has set big goals like Vision 2030 and our series of national development plans to guide us towards a better and more prosperous country. But with every new administration, shift in priorities, leadership styles, and governance approach often emerge, changing the course of these plans and creating disruption in their implementation. So this makes us wonder, are these frequent changes, sometimes driven by short-term goal, slowing down the progress we want to see? Think about the plans you had from previous administration. Which one was made a real difference? Which one didn't? And why? Let's explore this with Mr. Gabriel Itembu, a public policy professional. Mr. Itembu, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How is the morning?
The morning is so fine. I'm here in Ondangwa. It's nice and cool. And wherever you are, where are you?
I am in Windhoek, and it's really getting cold.
Okay.
And I have to give an excuse to my view to our listeners. I have a bit of small flu.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you are good.
Yeah. No, your voice is coming out through very well. It's fine.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Now, when it comes to every time when we have a new administrations, they seem from this is a perception. It might not be the way it is. It seems that every leader, every president who comes in, they come with their focus. They have their focus. They have their priorities. Let me give an example. For example, President Gengob, his main focus was, okay, the plans that he had was Harambe Prosperity. He came up with Harambe Prosperity. And today, the current president, Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, is focusing on SWAPO implementation, SWAPO manifesto implementation plan.
Yes.
So that's where they focus. So how do new administration really affect the long-term policies and projects in Namibia?
Yes. The very good thing about Namibia is that there has only been one political party, which is SWAPO.
Yeah.
So like when you look at our national development plan and Vision 2030, are not entirely abandoned.
Yeah.
But the president who comes to power always come and change things. So this affect the continuity, the proceeding of the policy because of change in political leadership, which is it's a very big problem in Namibia.
Yeah.
If you just look from 1990 up to now, the late President Nyoma coming with a new policy, and then Pohamba not so, and then you have, for example, programs such as mass housing.
Yeah.
Then the late President Hange just came in and keep quiet and abandoned the whole thing, coming with Harambe.
Yeah.
So the effect, the long-term effect of new administration for Namibia, it lies in policy shift and policy priorities.
Yeah.
So then what brings this, you see, where economic policy and social programs are literally affected because of this change in new administration and political leadership.
And this is sometimes now, it's kind of like when we're looking at, there are long-term plans, like as I said, when we're looking at the NDPs.
And I
tend to believe that the Swapo Manifesto, for example, implementing plan, have actually, it's contributing to those. I tend to believe it does contribute to that, but the focus normally changes. And the problem now, as you probably have said, is that if we were, Alexa, let me give an example. If we were focusing on green hydrogen, you know, when the administration of Hage Geingob came on, we were focused much on green hydrogen, and we even go out really looking for investors, foreign investors to invest in green hydrogen. But when now President Natumbo Ndaitwah came on, her focus now is oil and gas. And in see more mobilizing to for foreign investors to invest in oil and gas, so I'm not saying they completely abandoned the hydrogen project, but it doesn't receive that attention anymore as it used to. So, and that could also then hamper the investment that was put in during Hage. Then it goes to waste.
100%, 100%, and you know the funny thing is we have the Kudu Gas project, which was somehow also not given focus, not prioritized, and again, you see, you invested so much in green hydrogen, and now again you are going to invest in oil and gas, in Kudu Gas, and in the finding of the oil. So us Namibians now, we are wondering what is happening. And if you look at a Swapo Manifesto, I read the Swapo Manifesto, then I read the Vision 2030, I read our national development plans. I'm like, what is happening here? The Swapo Manifesto is not very far from the national development plans and Vision 2030. So now we have this, one might say, contradiction or maybe unseriousness, because if we can focus on Vision 2030, which is almost even lapsing now, and one can argue that it has not materialized because it has not been given attention.
And I think that derail, I tend to believe that derail, when a new leader abandoned the policy or priority started by the previous administration, it derailed actually the implementation of that national goals, isn't it?
Yes. Now here you look at we are now having a long term project, which such as infrastructure, social programs, free primary education, healthcare, that are disrupted because of this. And then you also have economic and investor uncertainty, whereby, investors are like, what's happening? After every 5 years, a new president come, a new administration come, and then they are not focusing on this. Should I really invest in this Namibia, where there is so much uncertainty? Can I really put my money here? You know, the investors are like, you know, foreign investors also like, maybe this is not a suitable environment for investment. If I put my money here, maybe I'll not get some returns. So we really have to avoid this uncertainty and, you know, mistakes, and by ensuring that national development plans and national policies are really complex and and they are protected even by law. In Botswana, for example, you have their Vision 2036, which are actually embedded into law, that they say a specific act which protect that if any new administration which comes to power, they have to respect these national programs.
Yeah. So this frequent policy change, or maybe priority change, maybe not policy change per se, maybe a priority change, are driven by real need? Are they driven by real need, or are they more about politics?
Yeah. They are both. They are both. Like in Namibia, policy changes are driven by real need.
Yeah.
When you look at, for example, unemployment, you look at the economic development, you look at technological, you know, things such as green hydrogen and green energy.
Yeah.
These are driven by the problems that we are facing in Namibia. You know, you look at the mass housing. These are problems that we Namibians are feeling the pinch. And we are really asking the government to do something about it. And so when the new administration comes, they listen and then they say, okay, we can solve these problems. On the other hand, some of these, they are really driven by cheap political goals and policy changes just for a specific president to be, not to get a political point.
Yeah.
Because okay, I'm not saying I'm against the late Hage Geingob, but you come up with Harambee Prosperity Plan while you know there is a Vision 2030, a National Development Plan, which you can actually just evaluate and improve and say, okay, there is this problem, let's improve this.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Do one have to say, does SWAPO implementation, does SWAPO manifest the implementation plan speak to NDPs? Does it speak to MPC? Does it speak to the aspiration and the goal of Vision 2030?
Yes, I read the SWAPO manifesto, but I really can't point out that a specific aspect which is not covered in the National Development Plan or in the Vision 2030. I mean, we all want our country to be industrialized. SWAPO Manifesto is saying that. You look at education, SWAPO Manifesto is saying that. But the National Development Plan and the Vision 2030, they all, you know, point to those, and they all want to improve those. They all want Namibia to be an upper income country. And then again, you have SWAPO Manifesto.
Yeah. When we talk earlier about the changes are driven by real needs, or are they more about politics? Now, you mentioned that, you know, sometimes like issues like housing and unemployment actually drive these needs. So now, let's say, for example, now, unemployment become the critical issues that the government have to address. So that means now it's what somehow we may actually respond as a country. We may actually respond to this need in an ad hoc kind of approach, rather than part of a long term policy of addressing that problem.
Yes.
You understand? So we kind of ad hoc. There's a fire here. We need actually to put off that fire. There's a fire here. We need to put off that fire. So are we not addressing this problem in ad hoc approach?
We kind of are.
Yeah.
Because as we are talking right now, we have a new administration. You look at, for example, the youth unemployment, 40%.
Yeah.
I mean, this is very bad. Then the government will end up, go to IMF, for example, or International Monetary Fund to get loans to, create employment. As a result, this now the country will be in big up trouble.
Yeah.
Or you now have to look at investors to come and invest, and so that people can be employed. But the confidence of the investor is truly eroded.
Mm.
They don't have the confidence, and the long term projects are just affected because of this constant policy shift.
Yeah.
So it's like you are trying to put down the fire with...
Gabriel, we're going to the market quickly and then we can continue on that one, yeah?
Okay, thank you, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Need lightning fast internet? Baratas has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Baratas' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Baratas today. Visit us online at baratas.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
All right, welcome back. And and just finish the point that you were making quickly, before I go to another point.
So I think we really need, we really have to look at our long term policy documents.
Yeah.
And make sure that things such as unemployment, we really solve them in accordance with this. With guidance from this national policy document.
Mm.
Because it's like you are trying to put out the fire with petrol.
Yeah.
You know, that quick fix, it will not materialize. To just create another problem. You look at, for example, free education that we are expecting next year.
Yeah.
You might end up with a lot of graduates on top of the others that are already unemployed in the country. So we don't need that quick fix. We need a strategic fix to solve these national problems.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the point that I'm trying to make, to say, if we have policies on employment, for example, so these policies would have actually guided us to where we should be able to be, where we should be now, but it's the other way around. We have a higher rate of unemployment, poverty it's higher, all these kind of things. That means if things are done on ad hoc, kind of like, okay, that has popped up, let's address that. That has popped up, that, and if we don't follow the policies and priorities that we have set, then definitely we will still find ourselves in this situation, isn't it?
Yes. We are really up into we're going to face a big trouble. I just wish someday that we'll really our new each administration which comes, because if you look at our for example the Vision 2030.
Yeah.
And now I'm seeing the government is talking about, for example, when you see youth unemployment, they are talking about creative industries whereby the youth, will will be getting something, for example, let me say from entertainment, from TikTok and all this social network, social media network. But these ideas are really founded in our national development plans. It's just a matter of following and respecting. But I wish maybe our law can really compel new administration and government to follow this national document.
Yeah. So when is it good? When is it good to change policies? And when does it have? When does it hurt progress? When do you think it's good to now? Maybe now is the time to change the policies. And when does it hurt progress?
Yes. Okay. Now this is you have now to look at the policy life cycle. So now you see you have the creation stage, you have the implementation stage, you have the evaluation stage, you have the review. So now you look now at, you position yourself like, okay, now we are at this stage.
Yeah.
Let's evaluate our Vision 2030. And I don't think in Namibia we have ever received a report where they say, okay, we have reviewed our Vision 2030.
Yeah.
We are at this stage. Much of this has been achieved. Much of that has not been achieved. Now, we need to do this and this and this. So,
yeah.
So, we need to do that. We need to evaluate. The media have to come on board.
Yeah.
Civil society have to come on board. The government, the minister, they have to tell us. So, when you find the gaps now, it's to where now you change. You don't necessarily change, but you just make amendment and review and improve.
Mm.
Yes.
And when do you think it is? When does it hurt really? Where you think that doing this by this time or by this way would actually hurt progress? When would it hurt when you change policies?
We have to be realistic with ourselves.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, Namibians are understanding people. We are peaceful people.
Yeah.
For example, let me take the issue of unemployment. When you see that, okay, you tell us that, okay, now the Minister of Youth, for example, cannot employ. There's a backlog of this amount. Then you, for example, say, tell the public, okay, we are going to borrow so that we can fill this specific gap in this unemployment policy.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just a matter of also keeping the public in touch, because when the government is quiet, other people will think something is wrong. But the point I'm trying to make is we should review, we should evaluate, and also give feedback to the public so that the public trust cannot be eroded, and also minimize the economic cost of certain backlog which are a result of these problems.
Yeah. So do you think when it comes to government, do you think the institutional memory, okay, is it maintained? When we said, is it maintained in human resources or in policy? Because then I'm trying to think to say, when you have a 95, let's say our new cabinet is about 95% new members. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Okay. So, but then, what is it? What is the importance of institutional memory when it comes to human resources? You know, in maintaining policy stability, is it within the policy themselves, or is it also within the human resources?
I think it's within the human resources.
Yeah.
In Namibia, we really need a technocrat. We have seen the new administration appointing people that are experts in a specific field.
Yeah.
But for us, for our national policy to materialize, we really need a technocrat. We need people who are experts. We need people who know how things work.
Mm.
People who have been in the system, not people who know the laws. No. So we need this technocrat to improve and cement our national policies.
Mm. Yeah. All right. You wanted to continue?
No. Let's continue. Let's continue.
Okay. Could inconsistency now that we see in approach or in policies contribute? Do you think they contribute to the challenges like unemployment, wealth inequality, and even slow industrialization? By 2030, we should be industrialized nation. We should be an industrialized nation. Do you think that inconsistency have something to do, or it contribute to those challenges as well?
Yes. Inconsistency is really a problem, because if you look the way policy has been abandoned and not paid attention to, you know, the time is going. I mean, if you look at the Vision 26, for example, now people can argue that I think we have only 5 years left. Now we can argue that, yeah, the policy did not materialize.
Mm.
But the major contributor of this of this problem is inconsistency. Even in the layman term, look at football. You do that, it's going to be very problematic. That's why we have a higher unemployment rate.
Yeah.
It's because of inconsistency. You know? Which really need to be addressed holistically, and not just a politician coming to power and making statements.
Yeah. So, now, as you're saying earlier on, you said, when I ask, when is it right? When is it good to change policies? And you said, you know, one have to go through stages where then at the end you do some evaluation. What have we learned from Vision 2030 and the national planning and the national developing plans about what works and what doesn't? Have we done that?
What we have to do to do as Namibian and also the government, we have to ensure that the national development plans and long-term plans like Vision 2030 remain prioritized to changing administration. And also, we have to make it legal to help to institutionalize them. Now, like when we are now looking at the national development plans, you see, issues like land, we really can't solve. Like, we have a long way. Now, when you look at Vision 2030 and national development plan, we have a long way. We are going to solve this land issue, but it's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
You see?
So, but when we come with new priority, for examples, have we learned from now? What is that we have learned from now 2030 or national developing plans? What works and what doesn't work when we now kind of come up with new priorities or something? Have we learned that maybe we are not able to achieve Vision 2030 or national planning and national plannings national plans because ABC? Have we exercised that kind of approach?
Yes, we have learned, but we, in my opinion, I believe that we are ignorant about the things that we learned from the National Development Plan in Vision 2030. I'll give you an example of land, for example. You have willing buyer, willing seller.
Mm.
We have learned that, you know, it's really difficult to acquire land through willing buyer, willing seller.
Yeah.
People are not willing to sell their land, or they are selling them at a higher price.
Mm.
So we are now at a phase whereby you learn something, but then you are also just looking at it with a blind eye.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, go on.
Okay.
You know, how can we make sure that national planning, national development plans remain important no matter who is actually in charge?
Okay, like I gave an example of Botswana, where they have Vision 2036.
Yeah.
Where they are also saying they want to be industrialized and so forth, good economy. But with them, for us now in Namibia, to make sure that our national government plans remain important, no matter who comes to power.
Yeah.
For example, we have to put it in law. We have to compel administrations coming to power that we have this plan, we have this development plan. The law is requiring you to follow. Do not abandon, do not come up with new similar development plans. You have to stick to this national development plan. The law compels you to do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and do you think, maybe the other way you're also looking at, do you think maybe what role can the media play in ensuring leaders stick to their policies? Do you think the media has a role to play in ensuring leaders stick to their priorities?
Yes. The media, they really have a big role to play, and they have to do it strategically, because sometimes when you start to point out some of these things, the media houses, you'll be in trouble.
Mm.
But the media, they have to be a stark reminder to politicians to point out to them that, okay, say, Madam President, you come to power, you said all this after 5 years, whereby now the media can come, okay, it was 2025, the President said this. Now we are in 2028, 2027.
Yeah.
What changed? So the media have to be a stark reminder to politicians and national leaders that when you performed, we review your performance.
Mm.
We put it out to the public there and say, you did this, or you did that. You know, you give an example of the current issue of Katima Town Council now, where the media is also pointing out, saying, okay, you see, this land was sold for this vehicle,
yeah,
and this other vehicle, and this is the land, this is a big tract of land which the town council sold. So in that way, the media is keeping the national leaders and the administration accountable.
Yeah.
But so, sometimes you end up on the bedside of, you know.
Yeah.
But you have to do that. You have to do that.
All right. So are you sure? Are you not sure? Are you hopeful about Namibia's achieving its economic goal despite all these challenges?
Yes, I have faith in the new administration.
Yeah.
Let me say like that. But the economy is not only about faith.
Mm.
We have to be realistic with ourselves.
Yeah.
And the government have to solve social and economic issues of Namibians that we are facing. But hopefully, I really think we are there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
But after, you know, 5 years, we have to see.
Yeah. All right. So, and lastly, probably, what would you say to Namibian frustrated by the slow pace of progress?
I understand their frustration, you know, but it's a double-edged sword. We have to acknowledge, you know, our struggle.
Yeah.
They are right. We have inequality. We have unemployment. We have corruption. And these things are just so rampant. Mm-hmm. You look at, for example, the Katima issue.
Mm-hmm.
It really makes somebody's stomach turn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here you are struggling to get rent, but somebody's just getting it for a bike.
Yeah.
And vehicle. And it's a large track of land. But we, you know, we have to keep the peace. You know, we have our free education coming. The infrastructures are not so bad. We just have to demand accountability, but we have to do it strategically.
Yeah.
And when, you know, election comes, we vote, we participate in town halls. You know, we should be involved in grassroots movement, you know, and for either political party, we should participate, and let's hope for the best.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Anything else that you would like, finally, you would like to, any maybe you deemed to share with our listeners that you maybe I haven't asked you?
I would just love to say public policy is there for the betterment of Namibians. They are formulated because there's a need.
Mm.
It's just a matter of us taking the government accountable to make sure that they really improve our life. And also, the national documents are out there. They are public. They are in public domain. We should be able to go to the libraries and read and keep ourselves informed.
All right.
On matters affecting our daily lives.
All right. So, Mr. Tembu, thank you so much for joining us on Unpacking the Day and sharing your valuable insight. We appreciate the depth of knowledge and clarity you have brought to this crucial conversation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mike, and thank you very much to our listener. And thank you to Eagle FM for giving me the platform. I'm really humbled and I appreciate you so much.
All right. Thank you and have a nice day.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. That was Mr. Etembu giving us the download on. This is something that we started last week, looking at different people, looking at the inconsistency. We're looking at the really what I'm trying to find out. And with all this interview, is policy consistency and how that is actually contribute to the growth, to economic growth, to our economic development, and also to plans that guide us to actually help us to grow. I mean, these are plans that guide us to a better and more prosperous country. So, and how does this shift of priorities, new administration coming in, so how do they add new leaderships, governance approach, you know, it's different. How does that actually contribute to the implementation or disruption of the plans or the development plans of the countries and all that? So last week we have Dr. Matundu, and today we're also bringing in a public policy professionals just to give us an idea from that perspective as well. So, all right. So I will open up. So I will open up the line now for you to to react either to the conversation or just your own contribution on the topic. So our telephone number, 08333 66091, 08333 66091. So you are most welcome now to come through and have your contribution or your reaction to anything that Mr. Itembo have said. Whether you agree or disagree, that's the platform for you. This is the platform. You're welcome. 08333 66091.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsie Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Selfwar Tiara, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning to you. If you just joining us, this is Eagle FM. And my name is Michael Chiavelli, and you are tuned in to Unpacking the Day. We just have actually, an interview, conversation with Mr. Itembo. Gabriel Itembo is a public policy professionals. The whole idea, it's really looking at, sometimes when we have new administrations, we always see changes in priority. And last time when we talked to Dr. Matundu, he expressed that, well, there aren't really much changes in terms of policies, but, well, there are different focus when it comes to different focus and different leadership style. And depending on what the emergency and sometimes tend, you know, administrate then tend to focus on those emergency and really not necessarily abandon what the other the previous president or administration was focused on, but sometimes try to address the issues that are prominent at that particular time, which actually also become like, you know, we're putting off fire wherever there's a smoke, okay? There's a smoke here, and we're putting it off, and there's a smoke there, we're putting it off. So we're not really, adhering or following, if you like, you know, following our plan, because how do we get where we are? So if we were following our plan, so we couldn't actually be where we are. So... And that means sometimes, and this is where now we're trying to diagnose this, if we can use the medical language. So what is going on? So when it comes to 2030s, why haven't we achieved what we said? By 5 years now, we should have been an industrialized country, you know, an industrialized country. So where have we fall short? Have we made that evaluation? Where have we fall short? And what have we achieved so far? What was our target? What have we achieved so far? Along with our national developing plans. So what have we achieved so far? And where are we? And when we now focus on certain priorities, are they still complementary to what we want to achieve within our national goals, within our national development goals, or we completely just trying to put out the fire of the problems that we are in? So, and we're looking at different angles to see is the reasons why maybe we haven't achieved, or where we found the challenges that we found experience in our country, possibly because of the disruptions of implementation of these developmental plans by changing focus, by changing priorities. All right. So, and if you want to contribute to that, and what is your opinion on that, you are welcome to come through. And our telephone number is we are in the Ondango studio. Our telephone number is 08333 66091. 08333 66091. We'll come back after this commercial.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% off its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Mula when you need it. Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. Auto Cash, it's that simple.
Welcome back. Our time is about 45, quarter to nine. And you have enough time for you to come through, because our program goes up to 9:30. So if you want to react on our early item, you're most welcome. And our telephone number is 08333 66091. 08333 66091. So what we have been discussing has been complemented. I think we were looking, it's something that we were even looking at last week, but we're only looking at the social priorities. There are also the economic enabler from the SWAPO manifesto implementation plan, and this has been a review that has been made. There is a Namibia quarterly economic review by the Institute for Public Policy Research for the first quarter of 2025. So the review is really going deeper into it's really highlights our economic trajectory. I have a problem with that word for some reasons, you know. Good FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Uncle Bon. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Yes, let me say some few things.
Yeah.
When they were discussing on the topic.
You sound a little bit deeper. You're like, what's all the money in Pogonga?
Oh, okay.
Okay, now we can hear you. Yeah.
Maybe the focus might be somehow prioritized.
Yeah.
But I think when you look at the bigger picture, so one finds out that you see the linkage.
Yeah.
The relationship or see of the SWAPO manifesto and aligned to the national development plan.
Yeah.
And maybe areas, issue of like, for example, youth in economic empowerment, areas of maybe aligning some of the ministerial, you know, ministries.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a way of responding to some of these challenges that are coming.
Yeah.
And, but because if abandonment, maybe that concept to me sounds as if it sounds more, you know, something else.
Yeah.
Because most of these projects are actually, to my understanding, are not abandoned. So they are still in line. So say, for example, Halambe Prosperity Plan 1 and 2, they were all emphasizing on the value addition, social safety network, and all those areas. And the social economic, pillars.
Mm.
And then the reorganization of the economy in terms of green hydrogen that we were talking about. So because if Memory Tombo has been focusing on the, oil and gas.
Yeah.
I really see no difference.
Yeah. No. The question is just that probably concern, not really like the different. There's no difference, but the concern is just to say, if the other one was there was investment in green hydrogen and that is no longer. I think it's not like it's abandoned. I think you're right to say. And even Dr. Mutu last time said, Matundu said, it's not abandoned, it's just that the focus has become different. But it also then that the investment, if that is no longer the focus, sometimes the investment that goes into this become now a slow progress, like the green hydrogen becomes now very slow progress compared to the momentum it has when Gengob was there, what was his priority. And now the oil and gas is gaining more momentum than green hydrogen because, you know, the new president won, this is the priority. I want it to be taken off quickly and, you know, start to make difference in people's life.
Yeah, maybe one may explain it from that perspective. But when you look at, say, green hydrogen, and you look at the activities that are entailed there, things like iron production, and we see now the construction of many infrastructures.
Yeah.
So, and this iron and many other products that are coming from there are actually used into construction, are used into oil and gas facilities, development. And you see very well there that the investment, maybe it's really a matter of realignment. And then say, for example, if there are investments that were put in green hydrogen, oil and gas as a baby, as babies of those development, I don't think there's any, I'm just looking at the linkage. So in terms of if you have got oil and the people have invested and there is a prospect of finding oil there, And I'm sure they still get it. You can run them parallel. But all I'm saying is that this product, I was listening into, it was one of the presenters who was talking about iron production, manufacturing, and all these things.
Yeah.
And if that is the case, where anywhere you see construction going on, whether it's digging of the pipes and all these other things, it's really a matter of demand now. Maybe those companies who are involved in construction and all this, solar panel and all these other issues. So maybe it's just a matter of expanding their operation. Because I see a lot of activities are going on. So in terms of like, I was listening to a presenter who was saying that, yeah, this house, mass housing, Tatepoamba, this other one and this other one.
Yeah.
But maybe the fast tracking of the implementation of the activities. Maybe that's where you see. If there is this momentum now that you ask gas and oil and gas development, I think that's a good focus. As long as the other ones are not compromised. So that's where I'm looking at them.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Uncle Bwana, for your contribution this morning.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Good.
Very good morning to you. And you're most welcome to come through as well and have your say, have your contribution, have your opinion, have your thoughts heard. Have your thoughts heard? Yeah. So I was also looking at because the IPPR, the IPPR done have look at they highlight our economic trajectory and the ambitious government plans. What are the government's plans are and the significant changes we face. What are the significant changes we are facing, you know? And we looked at that. So what I wanted to explore is now looking at some of these, social priorities and economic enablers and legal form, especially when we're talking about today, to understand what they mean for the everyday, Namibian. And, So looking at that. So if we look at the chapter, is it chapter three? We're looking at the chapter three that looking at the, that looking at legal and institutional reforms. And when we're talking about, policy, this chapter, it's a chapter that looking at, that focuses on legal and institutional reform as a cornerstone for creating a fairer, more efficient government, for example. So, but here's the questions. So, are these reforms that we see now, either in terms of policy, are they game changers? Are they really game changers that we need? So that's the question. So when we see new approach, when we see new focus, are they game changer that we need? Or are they just more promises that we'll gather, you know, sometimes later on, we'll gather dust like maybe some of these in the past. Now, so let's look at some of the things that comes out, or let's look at some of the details coming out there. Land reform, for example. Excuse me. Land reform, for example, the SWAPO manifesto implementation plan brings a renewed attention to the land reform. It's proposing a unified land reform act to create a single consistent consistent framework for land administration. So this is a crucial issue in Namibia, where unequal land and land ownership has been a really a persistent source of inequality, and also the tensions that is going on in terms of land. So, but let's be honest. So the land reform has been stuck, really it has been stuck in bureaucratic limbo for over a decade, over decades. So the first draft of land reform bill appeared in 2010. And that was revised in 2016 and was also shelved again in 2020. So with every revision, the complexity and the controversy around this issue have only grown. It hasn't get better. It has only grown. So the SWAPO Manifesto Implementation Plan emphasized prioritizing the enactment of this bill. So then the question is that they prioritize enactment of this bill. But the question is, will this administration now finally deliver? Will then finally deliver? Or we set for more delays and political compromises that dilute, you know, the effectiveness of these reforms? And here is an elephant in the room. Will this act, really address, because there's also issue of communal, both, will this now address also both communal and commercial land challenges? Or will it just leave, you know, the gaps that are there already? So is this the right time, you know, that we really focus on land reform, or does the government need to, you know, to tread more carefully to avoid economic disruption when it comes, for example, when it comes to a red line, for example. So sometimes the government tread more carefully to avoid, you know, economic disruption, according to, you know, to the government. So, yeah, so those are some of the issues that will we really sweeping the land reform, or the government still need to trade carefully to avoid any other economic disruption or so. So, and the other thing, on the policy level, there's also the next, let's talk about the Public Procurement Act, and which the SWAPO Manifesto Implementation Plan plans to amend by creating a dedicated tender court to handle procurement. So this is now to handle procurement related dispute. So, and I think this is a response to a long-standing concern about corruption and inefficiency in a government tenders. So what the report then, so Namibia has faced a multiple procurement scandals where tenders often seem to favor, you know, according to the report, political connected individual rather than the most qualified bidders. So, and on paper, I think a tender court sounds like a much needed oversight mechanism. So, but as the review looking at, as the review posed the question that will it have the teeth to enforce accountability? Will that will this tender court, you know, have teeth to enforce accountability? So, and more broadly, will this reform simplify the procurement process, or would it add more? Would it add more layers of red tape, for example, and making it even harder for maybe smaller and emerging businesses actually to compete. So, and do you, as a listener, do you see this playing out? And can a tender court restore trust in the public procurement? Would we feel when we have then the tender court, would that restore a trust in a public procurement processes? And the question is, as the review indicate, will it have the teeth to enforce accountability? So, yeah, and also the other thing was also the some other broader issues. Are those reform genuinely transformative? When you look at them, are we stuck in a circle of announcing ambitious plans without follow through? Those are some of the questions coming from the review. And Namibia has a history of well-intentioned policies that fail at implementation stage. When it comes to implementation, or everything just fall apart. So, and the review also, the report review said what is missing in the SWAPO implementation plan is a clear roadmap for holding leaders accountable. So, for example, what happened if a minister or a civil servant failed to meet the performance target? So if they fail now to meet the performance target, what happened to them? So the manifesto is the implementation plan is actually silent on enforcement. What will be the enforcement? So which now the report raises the concern that this actually raises a concern about whether this reform will have any teeth. And speaking to Itembu also talks about the accountability. So are this reform bold enough to tackle Namibia's systemic challenges or are they just more political promises? All right. So, yeah. So the quarterly economic review and the SWAPO manifesto implementation plan are a mix of optimism and caution when you look at it. While the plans are ambitious and really detailed, the gap in research, funding, implementation, those could really undermine. And in most cases, we hear this quite often, lack of money would always be there. They would always undermine the progress. There is no unlimited resources. Always there's no unlimited resources. So sometimes you have good plans, very, very good plans, but resources would always be there, the determining factor. So Namibia, we have, you know, we really have much to discuss and debate when it comes to all these things. And are these policies what our countries need? And are they just lofty, or they could be just lofty promises? So let's keep the conversation alive. So let's keep the conversation alive. So, all right. So you may well also come through, and our telephone number is 08333-66091, 08333-66091.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger.
Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved IMBA that brings together various hymn books under one app, here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on IMBA app are the Elsie Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholics Imane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sung for Tierra, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of IMBA hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover IMBA today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
Yes, welcome back. And a very good morning to you if you just joining us. And you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. Our time is about 8 minutes past the hour of nine. And this morning we looked at the consistency in terms of policy and how does that affect our economic growth and development as when it comes to new administration, when new administration take on power, they always focus on a new priorities and how that's affect our long-term developmental goals. So that's what we looked at. That's a discussion I had with the guest on the show. And if you still want to contribute to that, you're most welcome to come through. And also, I was just looking at some of the reform and policies that are outlined in the SWAPO manifest, manifesto implementation plan, according to the publications that a publication or a review, a quarterly economic review by the Institute of Public Policy Research. So yeah, just to relate that to some of the things that we actually talked about earlier in a discussion. Yeah, maybe let's jump ship. There's something very interesting, and from the parliament debate, Namibian, when the minister of health, minister of health and social services, was actually motivating for her budget. So we see that Namibia's public health systems has really long suffered chronic shortages of staff, of medicines, and even basic equipment. So, and this background set the stage when the parliament debated the 2024-2025 health budget, which is about 12.3 billion, and the next year digital, digital health strategy. That was the focus. Now, in that debate, the opposition MP, Aina Kodi, urged the health ministry to fix medicine shortage, staff gaps, and failing infrastructure before rolling out higher tech system. So in other words, she challenged the shift to smart e-health. She's challenging that, why do we have to move to spend money to smart e-health while clinics still lack essentials? So let's look at some key issues raised and their real world impact and how they really impact our daily life. The key question for citizen and lawmakers was that, so now, are the patient being left without drugs and care while the government actually pushes the digital hospital? So those are the key questions. So you're talking about digitalizing the hospitals while we still actually patients who are left without drugs and care. So are the patient being left without drugs and care while the government actually pushes for digital hospitals? The other thing is about why? Because there was also an announcement of 11,000 new health posts or new health jobs. Now, why announce over 11,000 new health jobs if the budget fund only a few hundred? So actually, when you look at the budget only funds about 400 something. So, but then announce over 11,000 new health jobs. But that's for the current fiscal year. But that the budget only funds a few hundred. So, and can now we're talking about the e-health. Can e-health work in a remote climate and in a remote clinic that still lack actually reliable power? Some of those clinics lack reliable power and also reliable internet. Would then e-health work in those remote clinics and health centers? So, and part of the NPs issues that she raised is also a whole question of mental health. Why do mental health and chronic diseases, the hypertension, diabetes, cancer, addiction, all this, why do mental health and chronic disease get so little attention or funding? So those are the key things that we can focus on. What happened to past health funds? So where now are the projects that unfinished or budgeted unspent, and who ensures accountability? So those are some of the questions that actually comes out of the debate itself. So we can examine each issue in 10 and critically question for you to consider. So yeah, and let's look at the first thing, the medicine shortages and infrastructure crisis. Now, in many clinics today, patients queue for hours only to find essential medicines are out of stock. So, well, in some cases are not out of stock. And the story about in Rundu, there's a story about in Rundu, a recent one, I think, in the newspaper, where the actually medicines were in a storeroom, but people were actually told to go and buy their medicines to a private pharmacy. And the newspaper, I think is the Namibian, they were able to go to the storeroom and be able to see that all the medications that are prescribed to patients to go and buy are actually in the storeroom. And you remember, maybe last week, a recent report from Windhoek, a clinic described people arriving before dawn for treatment and only to be turned away without medications. And this is Windhoek. So, and one pharmacist noted that patients often waited half a day in line and only to be told that the drugs they need are not available. When I'm talking about the hospital pharmacies, people waited in line and, you know, they spent hours, maybe 3 hours or 4 hours waited in line only just to get there. And they are told the drugs they need aren't available. And witnesses describe the scene as heartbreaking, those who have experienced that, heartbreaking, with elderly patients as well, leaving empty-handed after hours of waiting. So, in short, medicine shelves are empty while patients suffer. Now, the government has blamed these shortages partly on logistic. So the health ministry argues that there is enough medicine centrally, but insufficient storage. So that means centrally there is enough medicine, but it's just that insufficient storage in for example, in a clinic. So the Minister Esperanza Luvindao announced plans to build. She announced plans to build more warehousing and upgrading logistics to reach 80% service level. So which is from up from 57% today. So she announced that. So however, this answer really rings a hollow for parents. I mean, not for parents, for patients who need pills now. All right. So even if storage improves next year, people are out of pills today, are out of pills as they are lined up today. So meanwhile, clinics also faces a basic infrastructure problems. An analysis by development partners notes that public hospitals suffer from poor infrastructures, poor maintenance of equipment, and many other deficits. So now, broken machines, leaking roof in some clinics, and so unreliable utilities, all this make it harder, and all this actually make it harder to provide care. And it's also not only to the patients who are receiving care, but also to those who are providing care, like doctors and nurses. And critics rightly point out that now, digital health cannot solve empty medicine cabinet. If you put the priority now in funding in digital health, that cannot solve empty medicine cabinet or a dark clinic where there is no light. So with no drugs and faulty equipment, even smart software won't help patients. A smart software won't help patients. So in fact, as one of the legislator, one of the MP observed, focusing on high-tech system can become a distraction from these pressing shortages. It becomes a distraction from these pressing shortages of medicines and other medical equipment. So in practice, nurses and doctors cope really under impossible conditions. They see more patients than they can actually treat because basic supplies and beds are missing. Overcrowded wards, broken x-ray machines, frayed bed sheets are often the reality. So if hospitals lack enough beds and still turn patients away, it raises now the question, why invest in electronic records when patient can't get simple treatment? That's the debate that was going on. So the other then, it's about Namibia's health workers shortage, also severe. It's also a problem. The ministry itself approved over 11,000 new posts to fill gaps, but the actual budget funds only 434 of those positions. So in other words, thousands of announced jobs have no money to hire anyone. So, and this gap means that when a nurse retire, for example, or a clinic is planned, there may be no salary. What it means is there may be no salary to recruit the replacement. because the budget, as I said, only funds about 434. So an independent sector review has noted that the public health system suffers from inadequate human resources. We indeed have far fewer doctors and nurses per capita than needed to meet the demand. So that's according to the independent sector review. So understaff clinics and hospital mean, what does it mean? It means long queues, long wait, overcrowded, overworked staff as well. So we have nurses and midwives often do double shift, and one doctor may cover multiple facilities. So, and patients sometimes find a clinic locked, you know, or have to wait hours before and health workers actually showed up or attend to them. So these pressures lead to a burnout. It also lead to attrition, you know, and really feeding in a vicious circle. So now, when the MPs point out this mismatch, they ask, why announce more doctors and nurses than the budget actually can afford? So we now, without enough paid salaries, those positions remain empty and patients go unattended. So, according to the MPs, the public deserve transparency on staffing numbers. If new posts are promised, citizens should see exactly how many doctors and nurses are actually hired. So now the Ministry 2025-2026 plan centered on e-health, modernizing record labs and appointment with digital system. Well, indeed, officials claims some progress. I think there has been some progress already. All public hospital and 23 health centers now have network cabling, laying the groundwork for an electronic patient system. So there is already some progress that has been done. So tenders have been awarded to extend connectivity to dozen more clinic. And on paper, I think Namibia is positioning for a tech-driven health services. But can this work on the ground? That's the question. And that's what are some of the MP and the lawmakers asking. You know, a critic point out that many rural clinics still lack stable electricity or internet. So imagine a doctor in a village with no power. Now, how can they access a computer-based record system? So one MP warned that without first fixing clinics, which means beds, medicines, and staff, so digital platform will simply be underutilized or failed entirely. So in short, building the house, it doesn't help if the foundation is actually cracked. So, and focusing too much on digital can also sideline simpler fixes. For example, installing computer is apparently pointless if medical records are still kept in paper files. So why would you have, you know, a digital record? I mean, installing these computers, and you still actually have medical records are still actually kept on a paper file. So, and there's also a risk that big contract for software will take more money away from buying, maybe this money now taken away from buying vaccines or medicine or paying overtime. So the lesson from other countries is clear. Technology can improve healthcare, but only if the basic system works first. Now, for our rural Namibia, the question is, why install smart hospital networks when many clinics can't yet draw a reliable electrical current? So those were the questions that, you know, and beyond urgent outbreaks, another crisis unfolding quietly, non-communicable disease and mental health. And mental health are arising but underfunded. That's also what then one of the MPs indicated. Conditions like high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, depression, alcohol abuse, they account for a large share of sickness and death. But in the latest budget and strategy, in the latest budget of the Ministry of Health, they barely actually figure. Now, the lawmaker noted that despite this ailment being among the top contributor to morbidity and mortality in Namibia, there are almost no program or funding lines for them. So, now, for instance, the 2025-26 plan mentions establishing a national rehabilitation center for addiction, but provide no budget. There's no budget or integration plan for it. So mental health services get only a token attention with no clear strategy to support community care. So the MP says this neglect is dangerous. We know from experience that skipping prevention and early treatment of diabetes, for example, or depression, later leads to far higher costs later. A patient whose blood pressure goes unchecked may end up in a stroke ward, and which costs the system now far more than a simple medication. So, in short, what some of the MP were advocating or is that ignoring chronic and mental condition today means sicker patients and larger bills tomorrow. So why then do these hidden health issues get no serious budget focus? So, yeah. Our time is 31 minutes past the hour of 9. And it's a slow Monday. It has been really very, very slow Monday. Hopefully for you as well. I hope it's not for you as well. I wanted to say it's not hope. It hasn't been slow for you as well. Yeah. So, yeah, we have come to the end of unpacking this episode of Unpacking the Day. So do join us again tomorrow at the same time on the same station, Eagle FM. And from me, Michael Chevalier, I wish you a pleasant listening or following of Eagle FM. And stay tuned for Helmut coming up with Mind the Gap. From me, Mike, it's a goodbye. Until tomorrow.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna e Matina Omjo. Chicago Shafas and Anana, Longishifa, Yais, Yikemoshiwana, E. Moyao, or Tango Kotisamuni, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitombanawa, Orangika,
Zeithani na Omeaguro Nirandi Toma Yue Yongeshifa Yue Kupitira Mo Eagle FM Media House Ngoe Tuende Tuinemeha Uu Kakombanga Nena Kara Omkwashipareki Uimopo Yomo Programa Detu Moambo Dengira Selma Konara Heta Tuimu Datu Ndatu Heari Hamano Tano Oniyaj Eagle FM The Eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5.